Well, hello, Cormac.
How are you, Jane?
Welcome to this bonus episode. We have moved into a new apartment again.
Number three.
Third time lucky.
Nearly 2 years. Number three.
But we've just moved in. We're literally here like less than 48 hours. And we've, you know, over our time, we're almost coming up on 2 years. We've maybe had some trials and tribulations.
We've been through the fucking ringer, if you don't mind my expression.
It's been an absolute nightmare of sorts. So we want to like cleanse our souls essentially and do a bit of a ranty podcast about just some things that annoy us about Italy, some things that take a lot of getting used to
the point that you just can't get used to it because it's just rather annoying.
Yes, so this is just going to be a mix of nuisances that you might encounter on your holidays mixed with just some stupid stories that have happened to us by trying to move to this country. And we just want to cleanse ourselves. It's just going to be a get all the negative vibes out and then we'll be done.
We'll start a new chapter. New chapter in our new beautiful house.
So the next ones then is for tourists, we'll say.
Yeah.
The trains.
Trains are usually very good in Italy. They are usually quite reliable. Delays are only 5 minutes. Extraordinary circumstances, they can be 40 minutes, an hour delayed. But that's usually, unfortunately, if there's an accident on the tracks. But Sundays are very tricky because a lot of things are closed on Sundays. That's another part of this. But it's Sunday is the day that people go on strike.
Yes. So the trains go on strike quite regularly in Italy. There is a website, I'll link it in the description, where you can check if the trains are going to be delayed or not. The other just two things to mention about the trains is if you're taking the regional trains, so not the high speed trains, the regional trains, you do need to validate your ticket, whether you buy it online or whether you buy it from a ticket machine.
Yeah.
So there are these little green boxes on each of the platforms that you need to stick your ticket in and it cuts a little hole in it.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, €60 fine on the spot per person.
Yeah.
You also have to validate your tickets online. You have to wait for the regional train network. Even if you buy it off a different app like Omio or Trainline, you will get a email from the company and you need to log in and put in your details, otherwise €60 fine.
Yeah.
So that is just a bit of a nightmare. That's
book your trains in advance. If you're coming to Italy, book them a few weeks in advance. Italo, EITALO, is a private company, so they do not go on strike.
They're the high speed
trains that go all the way from the south of Italy all the way up to the north.
A little bit more pricey, but definitely worth it.
But get them in advance and you'll get a fair enough price.
Yeah. The next one is Ride Movi. It's a cycle and scooter app that's located in many different cities across Italy. And it's very much a big thing. It's probably the only, apart from one other company, it's the only company in Florence. So yeah, you can get an app, you QR code, and you think it's all handy. You think it's all great.
So you have a wallet on that app of how much money you have to rent bicycles.
So you have to top up the wallet.
There's a little stipulation where they will automatically re-top up your account by €5. So we got the app and we were using the bikes. And then one day it was just like, oh, Ride Movi took €5. And we're like, but we're not even using the app.
Ride Movi took another €5.
Yeah.
Ride Movi took another €5.
There was a glitch, when it was like, oh, your wallet did not top up, re-top up. Your wallet did not work. Sorry, re-top up. And then all of a sudden it was like, Ride Movi has taken €15 out of your account.
Yeah, in the end, Cormac actually just closed his Bank of Ireland account because he was like, I'm not fucking dealing with these people anymore. Yeah. And for me, I had to get a new card anyway, so they stopped charging me because they didn't have my card and I will not be using them ever again. So that's Ride Movi.
That's Ride Movi. Just be careful. There is a way you just automatically top up what you need for the journey that is in there in the app in the stipulations.
Yeah.
So, do that.
The next one is, it's actually not a scam, but we just want to let you guys know. Capertos are a big thing in all of the restaurants here. So you'll get a seating charge.
Yeah, just a cover charge.
Service fee, but that is not a scam. And it can be anywhere from 50 cent all the way up to, I've seen €5-6. So
€5-6 and really like their tourist trap places.
Yeah.
The standard, I'd say on average, is €2.
Yes. But do ask how much the Caperto is going to be before you sit down. And also just check out how much the water is going to be. Because if it's a tourist trap, they might end up just charging €6 for a little bottle of water. So they're the two ones to watch out for. And then the city tax is something, even if you book on booking.com or on Airbnb, this is all across Italy, you have to pay a city tax and you have to pay it in cash. Some people sometimes have cards, but mostly you have to pay it in cash. So when you arrive to any hotel or Airbnb, they need to get your passports. They need to take pictures of them. And then they will request the city tax. The city tax could be anywhere from €2 per person per night all the way up to €6 per person per night, depending on where you're staying.
We've averagely paid about €8 per person.
We paid €8 for the two of us. So €4 per person per night. I think it's €5 per person per night in Florence now. So yeah, just bear that in mind. If you're coming for four nights, for the two of you, if it's a fiver each, that's an extra €40 that you're going to have in cash when you arrive to the hotel. It is not a scam. That is just what is done here. It's absolutely mental. They love a bit of bureaucracy here. But yeah, and I always feel sorry for the Airbnb owners or the hotel people because they have to do paperwork for every person who comes in the
door. Every single person. GDPR, funny thing.
It's
and then
crazy.
Looping into the money thing, it's ATMs. Obviously, a lot of people are aware of Euronet are the biggest, like the ATMs are everywhere outside of little shops. They are €3 to €5 a charge for each transaction. So it can be hard to find a proper bank. There are several linked, we'll probably link a few of them near the Duomo in the center of town. They are around, just harder to find.
Yeah, just don't use those little blue and yellow ATMs because they'll charge you through the roof. Even if you have a Revolut card, even if you have whatever, they just put on a service fee.
But when you see a good bank, take a little bit of walking cash around because a lot of places will just be like, no.
Our card machine is broken. It's been broken for years. And then all of a sudden an Italian walks in and they can pay with card. But anyway.
Yeah.
Taxis. This is mostly for Florence that we're going to talk about. Although taxis can be a bit of a bitch everywhere. Uber is not widely used in Italy. It's not allowed. Uber Black is available, but that's way more expensive. Freenow is available in Naples and in Rome. Freenow is not, you can't use Freenow in Florence. So taxis they've unionized in Florence. And so they're super expensive. They're super privatized. And the only two ways to really get them is if you call them and speak Italian, or there's a taxi app called App Taxi.
Yeah.
And only sometimes it works.
Yeah. I will give one little shout out to the guy who works on the phone for Clante 390, so 4390, which is the number for the taxi. His name is Alessandro. He always works. He's really good English and he's very nice.
Yeah.
I have to say, because I used to deal with him a lot with the pub, and he's very nice. Even if it's English, he'll help you out.
Yeah.
I've had other, like the other company, and I've had other situations where my Italian pronunciation of the streets were just not good enough. So they put me on hold and they just tell me that there's no taxi
available. Yeah. So if you're looking for a taxi, get your hotel to ring it for you. But the other thing just to watch out is if you're landing into Santa Maria Novella train station in Florence, and if you're landing into Naples airport, if you're landing into any major place, you are going to have to queue for a taxi forever. So I would just say for Florence, have it in your head that you're walking to your hotel. Florence is a very walkable city. So pack light. Don't be dragging a massive suitcase around with you. And because otherwise you could be waiting up to 3 hours in a queue for a taxi when you could have drank your way to the hotel by then.
one little Italian that I learned that really helps out in Naples, especially because Naples, they'll also have like big taxis and they'll try to get a group together of random people to go into the center and they'll drop them off certain places, but they'll try to give you a set price. And when the guy was like, oh, where you go to the center? Oh, €30. And in Italian, you just say troppo caro. Too much, too expensive. Troppo caro.
Yeah.
And immediately he said, oh, 25.
Yeah, very dropped.
So troppo caro is a good one just to be like, I use that many times over the holidays, especially the holidays since we lived in Italy.
Yeah.
And it definitely helps. It gets a five or a tenner off because they're like, oh, they know enough Italian to.
Yeah, but in Naples, there's a really good bus service from the airport. In Rome, the train services are really good. And then you can use the underground or the metro. And in Florence, it's walkable. It's an absolute dose, but just do it.
Yeah, the first, like when you land into Florence, it's very awkward because it's just like traffic, roads, tram lines, tourists, hotels. It's just until you kind of get out of that center part.
Yeah, but in the train station, you can go underground and there's a little shopping mall and you can avoid all of the horrible overpass, crazy tramline, everything. So just try and go as far underground as you possibly can. Once you see some air-conditioned shops, you know you're in the right spot.
No, there's a huge, massive corridor that's lined with LED screens mm-hmm. and it has like an interactive display on it. And if you walk through that, you either take the next left or keep going straight and you'll come out
in a
quieter piazza where you walk more clearly.
And where your Google Maps might work.
Yeah.
Speaking of Google Maps does not work in Venice. Just wanted to touch on that.
No. I think that's universally known now.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrible. But internet and roaming data. So I work remotely. And I worked an awful lot on our initial holiday and we still have our Irish phones and we use Irish data plans here. Cormac is on Vodafone. I'm on Three. Three is a piece of shit in this country.
Yeah.
It's called Wintray here. I get I thought I had unlimited data just like I would back at home because it's EU. That is not the case. I'm capped at 17 gigabytes per month. And if I top up more than twice in a month, they will lock me out of my account and I have to ring customer service.
Yeah.
It's an absolute dose. So just be aware. Cormac, you get a little bit more.
Same. My data plans are the unlimited data roaming in Europe. And then it was like, no, you don't. I get 30. They actually upped my package. So I get 35 gigabytes.
Yeah, because you rang them. Yeah.
Which is loads. I have to say, both of us had to sit down one day and ring our customer services.
Yeah, both of our internet ran out at the same time.
And we had to ask, why is it used so much? And Vodafone just reinstigated my package for a month for free, apologized, and just said, you don't have free roaming. Sorry, you have a 30 gigabyte cap at that time.
Three told me to top up and to shut up. So
you were on the phone for twice as long as I was. So yeah. Vodafone here, if you've Vodafone, my coverage usually was the most reliable.
It was, It's still shite, the coverage here overall, especially in the buildings, because they're so thick.
Because they're old walls,
it's just
Vodafone is the better of the two.
The next is pharmacies. So if you are someone who likes to take a Panadol or a Nurofen, or if you take antihistamines, especially if you are allergic to mosquitoes, pharmacies are incredibly expensive here across Italy. I'm talking €9 for a packet of paracetamol. I paid €18 for a packet of Motilium. Antihistamines can be up to €12. It's absolutely outrageous. So just pack a little pharmacy bag.
Pack a little supply. If you're going on holiday, just bring your own.
Because there's nothing worse than a hangover if you're going in and paying €9 for paracetamol. It's actually shocking. And the pharmacies all shut down for the repose of the afternoon. So pharmacies close between 2 and 3 o'clock and they do not reopen until the evening.
Yeah, each zone, I have to say as well, in Florence usually has one pharmacy that will stay open during the day, but it's incredibly hard to find because we have also Googled pharmacies that are open, said they're open, we've gone down and they're closed.
Which brings us on to the next point, which is Google hours. So you can check the Google hours for any type of business, whether it be a bar, restaurant. It's actually insane.
Yeah.
They say that they're open all day. They're not. They close for 3 to 4 hours in the middle of the day. So just be aware that between 3 and 7, nothing is fucking happening in Italy.
This is the reposos?
Reposo, yeah. So it's their version of a siesta. So everyone just goes for their aperitivo and their nap and then they come back to work.
So everything in the center around the Duomo in Florence will stay open during the day, especially lunch, all day food, pharmacies, but anywhere outside of a half kilometer radius of the Duomo.
Shut down.
Will be closed, will take lunches, will be very awkward to get in and out of.
Yeah. The next one we want to talk about is just the skip the queue secondhand tickets that you might get to go into museums or any historical sites. Do not buy them off sketchy websites. Do not buy them off people there. Just book your tickets on Get Your Guide. It is the cheapest by far for the majority of the excursions or for those museum passes. But just go on to Get Your Guide, book your tickets in advance. I know that the Vatican, you can book 2 months in advance and some of them it's completely booked out for summer already. So you really, really need to be on your game the day that the tickets open, 2 months in advance. Mark it into your Google Calendar and just book it. And for Pompeii, I know tickets are selling really quick. And for the Duomo, if you want to climb the Duomo or anything like that, they book out really far in advance as well. So just mark it in your calendars. If you want to go to the Uffizi, if you want to go and see David, you need to book those in advance. There's no way that you're not going to be doing that, or otherwise you're going to have to wait up to 3 hours in a queue in 40 degree heat in the summer. I don't think so.
No, for
me.
Not for the Irish anyway.
Do you want to talk about the elephant bracelet guys?
Elephant bracelet guys. So yeah, there are a number of guys who roam around the center with beautiful little handmade leather bracelets.
That this are is like every city in Italy, by the way.
Every city in Italy. I think it's common in Europe anyway. Everyone has dealt with these guys somewhere on holiday. But the classic one here is the elephant bracelet guy. And he will come over and literally put one on your wrist. Be like, no, special. It's a gift. And then
start asking for money.
Turn around and be like, I'm trying to support my family in this place. You need to give me money. This costs this much money. Give me the money.
So yeah, they'll either ask you for the time. They'll ask you where you're from. They'll just be like, oh, my friend, just ignore them.
Yeah,
just
say basta. Once you respond or let them put anything on your wrist, they will be locked into you until they get something out of you.
Yeah.
And then get very pissed off if you take it off and like give it back to them. And it's a whole thing. So just say no immediately and don't let them say it's free or it's a gift, because it's never.
Yeah. Likewise, there's just guys who have pictures, like A3 printed photographs of different cities in Italy. They put them down on the ground. What they do is they're not selling those posters. And if anybody buys them, why wouldn't you just go to a print shop and pay €1 to get this obviously copyrighted image? But they put all these posters down in the highest traffic footfall areas so that if a tourist doesn't spot them and walks across them, they'll charge you €60 a poster.
They'll say that you damaged their property, you damaged their poster, they will ring the police, blah, blah, blah. It's a huge scam here. Yeah, it's one of the worst.
Just tell them to F off or say, Grant, I'll call the police. And you'll see as soon as a policeman even comes near them, they're running.
Oh, anytime a police car is rolling down the block, they have little spotters who run over and tell them to pack up. And they literally just roll up all the prints and stand on the corner with them behind their back until the police are gone. So just avoid that.
Yes. The next thing is just if you're a smoker, tobaccarias. So you cannot go into the likes of a regular shop and just get your cigarettes. You have to go to tobaccarias. And most of the tobaccarias close at either 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the evening. So it's very annoying if you go on the piss and you're like, I want to buy cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because you can't. So the only way that you can buy cigarettes after 8 o'clock is if you have a tessa sanitaria, which is like, it's like a health card. So you just have to wait by these ATMs in the hopes that an Italian person walks past so you can use their test sanitaria, and you have to have cash for that as well. Also, tobaccarias are always closed on a Sunday. We do have in our last podcast some places that are open on Sundays if you're coming.
Yeah, so some coffee shops are also tobaccarias. Some of the coffee shops will be open on Sundays. Not all of them. A lot of coffee shops do close on Sundays. But some of them are open, and we have it in another podcast for Sundays, kind of where is open. That is also tobaccarias in the center as well. The train station, I believe, and next to the Duomo,
yeah,
is open on a Sunday.
But yeah, and you'll need cash for those tobaccarias, especially on a Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, Rome. Rome for the rugby.
We tried to record an episode about Rome this time last year. We went to the
Six Nations Italy versus Ireland last year down in the stadium in Rome.
Yeah, so we went with two of our friends, Leo and Hugh. They'll be on the podcast at some point. And we have tried to record the Rome debacle with them several times.
We tried, but we were locked into the pub with too many drinks. That is unlistenable.
It was actually impossible to record Hugh. He just kept his laugh.
His laugh just like overshadowed poor, like,
Leo had about
poor
two
Leo
sentences.
Just like tried to start talking and Hugh would just be like,
and then we got went back to the station. Kept on, he kind of repeated himself. So I tried to edit that podcast. It was 2.5 hours long and absolute shit show. But what happened to us in Rome was I booked a place on booking.com. It was meant to be 3 double rooms. We got there. The hotel is right by the train station. We'll link the name of the many, many, many hotels names that it operates under. But it turned out to be a massive scam. Instead of 3 double rooms, they couldn't give us our rooms until really late. They then gave us one room with a double bed and bunk beds right next to us.
Yeah.
They charged us double because they said we needed to pay a security deposit, but they disappeared the following day. Yeah. Loads of other people were really unhappy. And it turned out that the whole place is infested with bed bugs. It turns out that they've been running this hotel scam under multiple names for a long, long time. Like, it goes back as far as 7 years.
So it's one fucking guy runs up and down between three different floors that are three different hotels, but it's one person. And he's just literally running the biggest scam you'd ever see in your life. And
yeah.
We were trying to check in, trying to leave our bags. We're like, no, it's not ready. You have to do that later. And we're like, we just want to leave our bags. We're late for the rugby. We have to go to the rugby. Can we just leave our bags? No. You have to do it later. We're like,
so it just turned out to be the biggest scam ever. He said that we had to give them a cash deposit, all the rest of it. We got onto Booking.com and we got 50% of our money back. So, but Booking.com, it turns out that they've actually just been listing the same property over and over again with just different names. So again, we'll put the address of the place on all of our listings here so that you can check it out. But I would just say to try, I know in our Rome podcast, I was like, try and stay near the train station, but avoid everything on this one street. just avoid everything on this one street because it's quite a dodgy area. I wouldn't feel safe staying there by myself.
Yeah,
it's
certainly a very unsafe vibe at night.
So yeah, Rome, thanks very much for scamming us and for, we had a nice bed bug filled night. And that's where we actually thought that we originally got the bed bugs from, which it wasn't. Moving on to bed bugs, we ended up getting bed bugs.
That was fun. The fun. So fun. 3 months of our life.
Yeah, it was absolute hell. So we went, we had this lovely apartment and we were living in it. We just extended our lease. So we were planning to stay there for a long time. That was kind of our plan because the rent was super cheap. And we went to the Edinburgh Fringe. And when we came back about 2 or 3 weeks after we got back, I found a little creepy crawly in the bed, and unfortunately we had bed bugs. And so we were the thing that was driving me crazy was, where did we get them from?
Yeah.
Where did we get them from? So we went through every rigmarole. I then thought that we had definitely gotten them from this hotel in Rome. But no, it turned out not to be the case. It turned out to be that one of our neighbors had them for quite some time.
He had them since beginning of summer, he said in a text message, but this was not until maybe November that we found out that he had them since summer.
Yeah, and he just vacated his apartment and stayed with his girlfriend and couldn't afford to get any exterminations done. So we had several exterminations done. We had written a letter to all of the tenants in the building. And it just turned out that he's had them for ages, couldn't afford exterminations, but decided not to tell anyone.
We came back from Edinburgh and we'd been gone for a month and a half and all of the apartments were vacant. We entered our apartment block and we're like, oh, then there was these 4 or 5 Moroccan guys sleeping downstairs. In one apartment downstairs.
Yeah.
And then it was this couple lived above them and then we were above them again.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all gone.
They were all so gone.
We're like, this is really weird. Like, there's a housing crisis in Florence. Why are all the apartments empty? Obviously, everyone just got railed with bed bugs and got the fuck out of there. We tried to stay and fight for 3 months and get exterminations done. And
it turned out to be a building-wide issue, and our landlord, it's all different landlords who owned each of the properties, and so they do not get along.
Yeah,
and they were arguing. It took them long enough. They needed to get a new roof. It took them almost 10 years to decide on that. So I was like, I'm not waiting around 10 years
to get around bed bugs.
Yeah, some bed bugs sorted. No. So
don't most of our shit.
Most of our shit spent thousands. Lost our deposit as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was bed bugs. That was great fun. My piece of advice, we are going to do a whole bed bug special.
Talking about everything.
I found it really difficult to find information, and I've done so much study on it now that even Jeremy says that I should write an Amazon book.
Yeah, you're literally a bed bug expert in how to deal with it.
Yeah, so stay tuned. So our final thing that we just want to air is, it's not anything to do with tourists or anything, but if you're looking to move to Italy, it has been very annoying, is deposits. So in Ireland, it's usually the first month's rent up front and 1 month's deposit.
Yeah.
Here, it is not that way. You have to pay you have to pay 2 months' deposit, your first month's rent up front, and an agency fee, which is usually 1 month's rent as well. So if your rent, we'll say, is €1,000 a month, you will have to have €4,000 up front to move into a place, ready to rock. Also, if you're moving from one property to the next property, they can withhold that deposit money for up to 30 days or even up to 60 days in some cases. You can see, you'll see it in your contract. So you might have to get another $4,000 together to put up front whilst you're waiting for your $2,000 deposit to come back. So it is a huge amount of money to put up front. I don't know how Italians do it, because sometimes like there's property that's so cheap here that I'm like, if you need to have $8,000 to move from one house to another, like just put another $2,000 and like get a deposit together, like just buy a gaff. I don't understand.
You end up paying like $3,500-$4,000 and then your rent is like $750-$800 a month.
Yeah. You're just what? It's absolutely crazy. We are going to do a huge special on housing agents, letting agencies in Florence. We've had really, really good experiences and really, really bad one.
Yeah.
And so we are now 30 days after we vacated our last property, still waiting on a deposit. We have no idea how much we're getting back in our deposit. He is not being clear with those. And to be honest right now, we think he's just being like, I'll send you $1,000. Good luck. And it's like, well, you actually owe us a shit ton of money. His housing agency fee was a little bit different to a regular letting agent. And because he was a housing agent, he was someone that we could call if we had any issues with the washing machine.
He was a house manager.
He was a house manager. And so we had to pay 10% of the overall rent that we would be paying. So we had a 1-year contract and we had to pay 10% of that total amount just to him.
Yeah.
Just to him. So it was over $5,000 that we had to pay up front for an apartment that was less than €1,000 a month, which is absolutely crazy. And we don't know if we're going to get that money back.
Nope.
So, we've cleansed ourselves.
Rant over.
Rant over.
They're all the things we don't like. We like many, many other things in Italy, and we've gotten used to some of these bad things. And once you know of them and are aware, it's a lot easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But, rant over.
Rant over. Thank you so much for joining us for this special bonus episode, and we will catch you in the next one.
See you in the next one.